Hey there, America. I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome or welcome back. Good afternoon. Former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. Our guest, Mark Levin, the E is for empathy, not Mark Levin, currently also hosts his own talk show in Washington, D.C., a radio television talk show entitled The Inside Scoop. He also is on the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM in the Beltway. He frequently appears on TV, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, and CNBC. He's tangled, not tangoed, with everyone from Bill O'Reilly on the right to his co-host on Pacifica on the left. He's tangled with me, and we're going to tangle go a bit tonight, I'm sure. Mark, thanks for joining us. Welcome. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Thank you, Leslie. What a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to be with you when you're on vacation as well.
And well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Come on, you got to serve the appetizer before the meal.
Fair enough.
And in addition to that, I do want obviously, Mark, I'm in a new time slot, so you are as well. Welcome to our new time slot of 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern.
It's nice. I can see sunlight as I speak to you. How rare is that?
As long as you can't see Russia from your backyard there in Virginia.
That would be scary. That would be very scary.
Can't help myself. I just can't help myself. When I saw her in person, you know, a couple of years ago, I was dying to see.
You saw her in person?
I did, because, you know, I'm a Fox News contributor, and I was in the at Fox in New York, and I was in the makeup room, and she was next to me. And by the way, ladies will get this more. Ladies, you know the jeans that, you know, you wear under your breast line? Yeah, girl needs some fashion with the jeans, I got to tell you. But anyway, we're not talking about Sarah Palin, her wardrobe, and her level of attractiveness. And I sound like a major cat, huh? Meow. Anyway, let's talk.
No comment here.
Yeah, let's talk about something on a much, much more serious level. U.S. intelligence officials presented reporters with, I think we could agree, Mark, on the most detailed case yet, that the Russian-backed Ukrainian separatist did, in fact, shoot down, at least the information shows, the Malaysia MH17 flight last week. There is, quote, a solid case. It was an SA-11 fired from eastern Ukraine under conditions created by Russia. And, of course, there's talk today, as I just mentioned and ripped from the headlines, with authority figures in both Russia and Ukraine speaking out about where the missile originated, some say Russia, whether before or even after it was launched. So let's talk about this. Would you say this is not just the most detailed information, but does this present a solid case? And I say that because not only are you a staunch liberal Democrat and a progressive, but you're an attorney. And in your positions as former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank, the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees, you certainly know cases and whether they're solid or not.
At this point, I think we have proof beyond a reasonable doubt. We have to gather it all together, present it fairly. But at this point, when you look at all the pieces in place, and then you look at counter-explanations, first of all, there's zero evidence of any other possible explanation other than Putin's say-so. Here's what we've got. We've got Russia made these missiles, giving them the missiles. We got pictures of Russia training them in the missiles. We have the fact that they tried to hide the missile. We have the fact that they tried to hide the black box until they got caught and turned it over. We have the fact that they bragged about it contemporaneously when it happened and started to look for pilots and put it on social media. We have the fact that they've shot down 16 planes. We have the fact that they have images of the missiles. Oh, we have a voice recorder. We even have a voice that has to be proven, that has to be verified, of them actually bragging about it. Really, the evidence is so overwhelming. What's fascinating to me is that Putin has yet to even condemn the crime. He's yet to condemn the murder of 298 innocent people on a passenger plane having nothing to do with the conflict. You'd think he'd at least condemn it. England and France have. But he won't. And the evidence to me is overwhelming.
Okay. I have to ask, why wouldn't this guy do this? I mean, we'll talk about sanctions. The United States just placed more last week before the crash, but that the U.S. could, pick up the pace there. And certainly the EU, although the EU is going to be scared come winter, he'll cut off their gas supply. And I certainly would not put it beyond Vladimir Putin to do so. It's a solid case against Russia. And we talked about the perplexment that you and I both share with regard to Putin not denouncing this and not, saying it's a terrible tragedy. How can somebody say, hey, look, almost 300 people died. They were innocent civilians. They just got on a plane. It was a commercial aircraft. if nothing else, just to make himself not look so nasty and separate from the rest of the world, quite frankly, it would put him in a better light, but he doesn't seem to care.
Yeah, I mean, you would think when the murder occurs on your property, you at least say you feel bad, even if you committed
sorry.
It, right?
Yeah, sorry. By the way, senior intel officials said they've ruled out the possibility that Ukrainian forces were responsible. They say it's not a plausible scenario. They confirmed Ukraine had no anti-aircraft missile system within range of the flight at the time it was struck. And we've had three separate senior officials that have stated such. Was there any question, Mark, do you think, in anyone's mind that Ukrainian forces were responsible? Of course, with the conflict with the Russian-backed separatists, that, obviously was something they looked at in the beginning. But from very early on, I think the world, myself included, you as well, said these are the Russian-backed separatists, Ukrainian separatists.
It can't be. And the reason it can't be is the Ukrainians have the Air Force. The separatists...
Not making me happy.
You're going to shoot down their own plane.
Mark, you're going to have to repeat that. I didn't hear you. I have no idea what's going on with your phone.
That's not good. I'll try again, and then if it doesn't work, get a new line. There's... be the Ukrainians, because they don't have the flights. They have the planes in the area. The separatists don't have planes. The separatists have missiles to shoot down planes. The Ukrainians are not going to shoot down their own plane, and of course U.S. intelligence has verified they didn't have any missiles to shoot down the planes in the area anyway.
Absolutely. So when we look at the most plausible explanation for the shooting down of the plane, is that rebels mistook it for another aircraft. We had Colonel Cedric Layton joining us yesterday, who certainly knows aircraft and how aircraft is viewed from the ground and the lack of experience of these rebels. In other words, this is a very terrible, tragic mistake in a sense. But that doesn't mean that these rebels get off the hook when it comes to violating international law, correct?
No, they're still shooting down Ukrainian planes as we speak. They just bragged today that they shot down two more. Interesting, these planes were outside of the ordinary shoulder missile launch range. There's a sort of a range that terrorists have. Planes get below 10,000 feet, they're in danger. But usually above that, they're okay, unless you have basically a very sophisticated missile that only states like Russia and the United States have that can shoot it down. And again, they shot down two planes using missiles they claim not to have. There's just no
clue
here.
Touched upon Malaysian Airlines, that Russia's to blame, what's to be done. One of the things we didn't talk about that is out there and that we posted on Twitter and a lot of people have been talking about is with the United States and other nations, the European airlines as well, suspending and scrapping flights to Israel and their airport, to and from, because a rocket from Gaza landed just a mile away. Some people are saying, well, should any nation, when they have a flight pattern, work around or rethink going over any area where there is a conflict? Is that something that maybe airlines should look at internationally in the future with what happened with the Malaysian airline, MH17, and what we're seeing conflict-wise in the Middle East, in Israel?
I think it's something they already do, and I think they have to be even more careful in the future. There already are flight paths that go around places like Iran and Syria and various Afghanistan and so forth, various places where people fear that shooting down. The reason why the Malaysian flight, and in hindsight, obviously it was a mistake, but you could only know that in hindsight. The reason why the Malaysian flight went where it went was it was actually north of where it would normally go, but there was a thunderstorm, and it was flying over 30,000 feet. And terrorists don't generally have, or separatists, or non-governments, I should say, do not generally have the capability to shoot a plane down miles up in the air. In fact, it was authorized for this plane to go where it did. It was out of missile range, except for the missiles of very sophisticated countries like, hey, Russia. And so, again, hindsight's 2020, and clearly that shouldn't have happened in hindsight, but I don't really blame Malaysian Airways much. They really, I don't think they thought that their plane would be shot down. Again, like I said, hindsight's 2020, and people have to be careful as much as possible. But, if you try to go from Europe to Asia, and you try to go around Syria and Israel and Iran and Russia and Ukraine and somehow get to Asia, you can fly down through Egypt. Even Egypt has some turmoil right now. But if you want to go around Africa, you've got to cross through the Middle East at some point, and that go over the North Pole or something. It's not easy for the airlines. I've said to be flippant.
Okay. We're going to be taking a break, and when we come back, we're going to be taking some calls on this. We have many other issues to talk about tonight. I think we have like 11 of them. We'll never get to all of them in this hour. We never really do. We'll hear Mark Levine, former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank, the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. Mark, thank you for holding. Welcome back. Let's get to some of the calls on this issue, and we do have many other issues to tackle today. Lots of news going on. Kurt's in Los Angeles, line 4. Kurt, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi,
McCall. How are you?
Good, good.
My question is the United Nations, and where are they? Because I grew up with the understanding that the United Nations, as defined on Wikipedia, at the end of the Cold War, the UN took on major military and peacekeeping missions across the world with varying degrees of success. And I believe the United Nations was formed after World War II in an effort to create a international body of nations that would, sort of be like an unofficial world police, because every now and then you have a caller on various shows saying that, the United States is not the world's police. And I agree. We're not the world's police. And we should not be the ones to always have to solve every other nation's problem whenever there's an aggressor by a dictator. So I'm trying to figure out these 193 nations, headquartered in Manhattan and New York City, where are they? Where are the peacekeepers? Why isn't there a force to go in there and quell these border infractions by Russia onto Ukraine? Why aren't we quashing these unsanctioned acts of aggression? And let's include Benjamin's nothing but a Yahoo as well. I mean, because I'm not buying these hitchhikers being kidnapped and killed by Hamas rebels, because it's just unlikely that three kids just walking down the highway are going to be just run into some rebels and then not even claim responsibility for it. I mean, people get snatched hitchhiking all day long, every day in America. How can we just assume that it's Hamas rebels that killed those three hitchhikers in Israel?
I mean, let me respond to both questions if I can. The first one is, we like to think the United Nations is some perfect world policeman that, cares about everyone and does the right thing and is controlled by people who care about democracy. The United Nations is unfortunately an imperfect institution, and one of the reasons why the communist governments agreed to set it up back in 1945 was because Russia gets a veto, as does China, England, France, and the United States. So the reason why the UN can't do anything in Russia is because Russia would veto it, pure and simple. One of the reasons why the United States, I think, does have some world policing up responsibilities is because the United Nations can't do it all. The other thing about the United Nations to remember is, of those 193 nations that you mentioned, probably the majority are dictatorships. So they're not really representing the world of the dictator in charge of that country. So the United Nations does some good things, it does some bad things, but it's far from a perfect institution. As far as the kidnappings in Israel, they know who's done it. The people have basically copped to it. In fact, they're hiding out now. It's a particular family in Hebron. They know the names. They've released the names. They're wanted. They're Hamas operatives who've done this kind of thing in the past. And Hamas is doing it because they're going into tunnels right now trying to kidnap more people. In fact, they may have.
Yeah, but Mark, I mean, quite frankly, let's just look at, Pavlovian conditioning. The reason they kidnap is because they kidnap one, and for years, Israel enabling this situation, I think that you and I agree on, is stupid. What do? They say, oh, you took one, we'll give you 400. And that's why they do this. And Hamas is making, and Hamas is not hiding the claim that they've kidnapped, and they've actually taken credit for it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It is stupid. It is unfortunate. You understand the government wanting to protect one life and life home. But when you trade terrorists, when you give in to terrorist demands, the terrorists simply take more. I felt the same way when we did Arms for Hostages under Ronald Reagan. I feel bad for Gilad Shalit and his family, but it's sad to say, I think if one person's taken hostage and you give away 400 people, they're going to take a lot more hostages because they're all convicted murderers anyway.
And Israel aside, anytime any country or terrorist organization sends somebody into a military conflict or sends somebody into a conflict on the, quote, enemy's property, you risk that. That's why we have POWs, and we have actually international laws that pertain to POWs, because people are taken prisoner. Some people call it kidnapping. Some people call it, taken as prisoners of war. I think it comes down to semantics. You're being held hostage by the enemy. Let's go to our caller to see if he had anything left to say. Kurt, anything left for us there in L.A.?
Well, yeah. I mean, you gave a real good rebuttal, but I thought in this instance, Hamas is denying these three particular kidnapping. You're saying is positive proof positive. I've not seen any of that proof positive on CNN or any other of the major cable channels. So that's all I'm saying. As a matter of fact, I heard another group took responsibility for it, and they're not even looking at that. They're like,
Kurt, in the beginning, Hamas took the responsibility, and they could not confirm or deny Hamas's claim at the onset of this. Kurt, thank you for your call there in L.A., where I'm based and broadcast out of, each and every afternoon with you here on the Leslie Marshall Show. Quick break. When we come back, I think Mark and I are going to have our little disagreement on the Middle East just around the corner. We're back. Mark Levine, our guest, former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committee. He is a host himself of the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio in Washington, D.C., and he is on radio and television with The Inside Scoop, his own program. He does not co-host it. He just hosts that one. Follow him on Twitter at Mark Levine with an E-L-E-V-I-N-E talk, and his website is marklevinetalk.com. Mark, before you and I get into a battle... Not too bad, hopefully. Let's take some calls. Starting out on line four in Ferndale, John joins us. John, how you doing? Good afternoon.
Hi, Leslie. Hey, Mark. What a treat. I love it when you sub.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Just on the Sunday shows, Senator Lindsey Graham was just, having a conniption fit, and John McCain's over there pulling his strings. Saying how the Russian general is beating the community organizer. In the meantime, Putin is lying. They got Russian another host quit over them trying to say that Putin. Well, his presidential aircraft was targeted, and he almost got shot too. We don't know who did this. Now it's like, oh please.
The animation. I love your animation.
John, I've been on RT. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's quite fun if you want to YouTube it. The last time I was on, and I'm quite sure they will not invite me back, but the last time I was on was Chris Cuomo this morning, and they would not give me 30 seconds of uninterrupted speech. They give the anti-American guy 3 full minutes, and then I tried to say Putin has invaded Ukraine. They shut me off. They would not let me finish a sentence, and it's kind of an ugly thing to watch, but it is a propaganda channel, and the sad thing is that a lot, I would dare say most of the Russians believe it. They actually believe that the Nazis are in charge of Ukraine. As crazy as that sounds.
They believe
Ukraine shot down at the Malaysian. They believe all kinds of wild conspiracy theories, and Putin uses those conspiracy theories to pop himself up in power. And that's how he gets his popular support. And frankly, most Russians haven't figured it out. He doesn't allow independent media in Russia. Russia had a chance to become a democracy. There was a short period of time following the Soviet Union when you had Boris Yeltsin in power. Yeltsin was imperfect and he was a drunk, but he wasn't a dictator. He believed in democracy. Unfortunately, he didn't live to see Russia through it. He wasn't the best leader in the world. He was kind of bumbling, but he wasn't the kind of ruthless dictator that Putin is. And Putin has now shut off all kinds of independent media. So now, yes, Russians believe in crazy conspiracy theories.
What always bothers me, though, I have to just say, is Mr. Snowden is sitting in Russia, so angry about the lack of freedom in America, as if it's that much better in Russia, even though they're harboring him and have his back. If he thinks that we're spying here, they're doing a hell of a lot more spying over there in his new homeland.
I don't think he really said, "I'm going to go to the paradigm of virtue and respect for freedom rights." You know, I'm going to go to Russia. I honestly, Snowden had. I have problems with him. I think he's done a lot of good. He may have done a lot of bad. We don't know. And of course, the NSA is going to exaggerate the bad he's done. But I sort of see him like a piece of flotsam that just got, kind of shuttled from place to place. And believe me, I'm sure there's other places he would rather be. But he's stuck, and he can't go anywhere.
I think he had some legitimate criticisms. I'm glad he brought them to the fore. I don't think he did it in the right way. But I have criticized the NSA spying on Americans since Bush did it back in 2005. So I've been doing this for almost 10 years now. But whatever problems and imperfections we have in the United States, and God knows there are lots of them, I discuss them all the time, you just can't possibly compare the evil that is going on in Russia. You just can't compare.
Well, no, you can't. That's why I think this country is great. And even though we may not do things perfectly, I'd rather be here with all our screw-ups with the NSA than over there. Because, I think that Vladimir Putin gives censorship a whole new name and meaning. And I think you guys would agree with me on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a difference between listening to conversations unconstitutionally, which I think our government is doing and shouldn't be, and forbidding people to speak and putting them in.
Well, not only forbidding them to speak, exiling them to Siberia, putting them in prisons, or quite frankly, people entirely disappearing, not even to start with the persecution of the gay community and threatening to take children from lesbian women and gay men. John, anything else there?
No, I just wanted to thank Mark and you for all the good you do. My afternoon radio goddess. Now I've got Leslie in the morning, I've got Rachel at night, and I've got Leslie when the sun shines.
Okay, thank you. Stephanie in the morning, me in the afternoon, but thank you, John. I appreciate that. You're awesome. Let's go to Dallas, Texas, line 2, Austin joining us. Hi, Austin. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Hello, Austin?
No, this is Dallas.
Oh, your name is Dallas. I have Austin from Dallas. You're Dallas from Austin. I swear to God, I could not make that up. I could not make that up. Only, Andrew, I got to give you credit. That was good. Austin from Dallas? No, it's Dallas from Austin. I lived in Houston. Should we add that into the mix? Okay, let's go. Hello, Dallas in Austin, Texas. How are you? Good afternoon.
Doing fine. I'm just wondering about why we're going to reward Putin with the FIFA World Games.
It's a good question.
It is a good question. And you know what? Nobody's asked that. Every time somebody asks a question, I've usually heard it somewhere. I have not heard that question on my show or elsewhere. That's a good one, Dallas. Mark, what do you say?
How in the world are you going to attend games when there's wars going on? We've already got one plane shot down, one airliner shot down. So you're telling me that people are going to come from all over the world and take a chance on being killed to attend a game and reward a guy that's, it looks like to me he's trying to take back the Soviet Union to where it was before the Iron Curtain fell.
I agree with everything Dallas says about Putin and his ill will and trying to recreate the Soviet Union. The question I have is a tougher one, though. What to do about the World Cup?
Yeah.
I look at the history of the Olympics, and, certainly it was used by Hitler in 1936 to support his regime. In 1980, after the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, of course, we didn't go to the Olympics, and that was Jimmy Carter's decision, and a lot of people said that just hurts the athletes. I have a real hard time on this, so I have an opinion on everything. I see both countervailing factors a lot. I would love it if FIFA would just move the games. I think I just hate not to have a World Cup at all. That seems to me to be punishing too many people. But moving the games to somewhere else, I'd be up to that.
You know, I know that you and I actually disagreed with the Olympics, I think, Mark, right? With, you know, with the Olympics, not with the World Cup, with the Olympics, you know, being in Russia and whether the United States should participate, you know.
Right.
But I, you know, I'm in agreement with you on this one. I am in agreement. Dallas, anything else, sweetie?
I want to know why people are having such a hard time connecting the dots. The guy that took credit for downing that airliner when at first he thought it was a Ukraine fighter jet was a Russian general.
That's
and
correct.
He's the guy that knows how to push those buttons. I saw the control panel, a picture of the control panel. Somebody just couldn't walk up and just push a button and get that thing to work.
No, there had to be. Yeah, we talked about this with Colonel Layton yesterday. Absolutely, Dallas. There had to be a certain amount of knowledge. Absolutely. No question. Anything else?
The other thing to keep in mind is these are not Ukrainians that are so-called separatists. These are Russians.
No, these are Russian. Yeah, yeah. I think the press has been very clear on that, but it's good to reinforce that.
I think people think it's some kind of civil war. It's a Russian invasion, and there's really no other way to put it. It has some support from some local populace, but the people who are doing it are longtime KGB people with close ties to Putin. This is not some civil war. This is a Russian attempt to take over part of Ukraine.
Yep, I agree with you there. Dallas, thank you for joining us from Austin. You got to call us back again, and maybe you can really mess with us and just come up with various names and cities in the state of Texas. Thank you. I appreciate your call, Dallas. If you're holding, hang tight. You want to join us, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. A lot of people calling about Putin, a lot of people calling about Russia, and a lot of people calling about the responsibility and not taking responsibility as a world leader, the leader of Russia. And a lot of people worry the United States will be doing something. I haven't seen that as of yet for that gentleman earlier that posed the question about us being Big Brother and with regard to the United Nations and where are they and why aren't they more involved. We'll be taking a break, and when we come back, we'll take more of your calls, 888-6-LESLIE. We'll also share some of your tweets on this issue, and back with our guest, Mark Levine, that is with an E, M-A-R-K-L-E-V-I-N-E, he says for empathy. 888-6-LESLIE is the number. We'll be back, more calls and tweets on this issue, and then Mark and I will get into our little discussion, our little disagreement over the Middle East. And we do that so that you can see that you can disagree without being vitriolic or insulting or personally attacking someone. And you can disagree on a very emotionally charged issue, even if you're both Democrats, as Mark and I are, even if you're both progressives, as Mark and I are, even if you're both liberals, as Mark and I are. And we are also friends, personally and professionally, and respect each other and each other's opinions. But we, vehemently disagree. We will see how much we disagree. But I know we do disagree largely about what's going on between the Israelis and the Palestinians currently in the Middle East. We'll be back with that. We'll be back with more of your calls and finish up this conversation regarding the MH17 and that terrible tragedy. 888-6-LESLIE is the number. Don't go away. We're back. How you doing? I'm Leslie Marshall. Good afternoon. Happy hump day. Talking with Mark Levine, who is my guest in this hour, former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank, the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. Okay, Mark, let's tango. And so that people understand, Mark is going to be sitting in for me. I go on vacation tomorrow. I will be back on August 6th, and you're in good hands. And I wanted to have him on today so you guys would get a little taste. Although this next taste, some people may agree, some people may disagree, some people may not like entirely. We talked about the suspension, the scrapping of flights, the Israeli flights by both the United States and the EU. And Secretary of State flew into the airport today, despite the FAA ban. I guess you're allowed to do that when you're Secretary of State. He is planning to meet with the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. Also, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. He's going to go to the West Bank and meet President Mahmoud Abbas in what could be a crucial day in those flailing talks. But before we do this, I don't want to forget we have another call that's been holding. My apologies for not getting to you sooner. Reggie is calling us from Decatur, Georgia on line 5. Hi, Reggie. Thanks for joining us. Good afternoon. And I think that you had a question or comment on MH17. Is that correct?
Correct.
But go ahead.
Correct.
Oh. I said, no, go ahead, sweetie. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd just like to congratulate, I would just like to congratulate you all on your new, brand new time slot. We used to be Randy Rhoads and Tom Hartman's time slot. And if there's anybody that can replace both of them, it's you.
Well, I'm not replacing them. Randy's gone on to retire. I haven't taken her out. My name is not Leslie Marshall Soprano. No, that's what people think. I remember one time when I had a job in Chicago that, what have you done with that person? I'm like, well, you know, they left. They went somewhere else. They're going to make more money. And Tom has actually moved into an earlier time slot, a slot that he used to do. And I'm very good friends with Tom. I fill in for Tom. So some of you might hear me 6 hours a day on certain days. Oh, Lord. Okay, hey, Reggie, go ahead.
Okay, well, I would just like to know, how do you keep what happened last week, you know, the recent destruction of, you know, the Malaysian flight, how do you keep or separate facts or distinguish facts, meaning the truth, from fiction, meaning disinformation, misinformation, lies, and propaganda? Because, you know, you're going to have all conspiracy theorists such as Alex Jones and Laura Ingraham saying that this is nothing more than a false, typical false flag operation to distract from talking about President Barack Obama's recent...
Wow, Laura Ingraham sounds as much of a conspiracy theorist.
No, by the way, no. This all has to do with this is because the president wasn't born in the United States, and it's the passage of the Affordable Care Act that was responsible for MH17. I mean, I'm sorry, Reggie. I'm not trying to make light of people's loss of life at all. I'm just saying, to your point, Reggie, it's actually amusing, but I'm surprised they haven't said some of those outlandish things. Go ahead, Mark.
To me, this is a slam dunk. This is an easy one. All you do is you look at the facts. You look at the facts that the separatists have shot down 15 Ukrainian fighter jet, you know, planes right before and right after Ukraine has shot nothing down. You look at the fact that they bragged about it. You look at there's so much evidence here. To me, a conspiracy theorist is someone who denies the obvious in order to have some crazy political motive. And we have them at all stripes. We even have some of them on the left. I remember arguing with the 9/11 people who argued that Bush and Cheney put bombs in the World Trade Center. And I said, I don't like Bush, I don't like Cheney, but no, I don't think they bombed the World Trade Center. I think Al-Qaeda did that. Some of it is just use your wits and recognize that when conspiracy theorists have absolutely no facts to back it up, they're just shouting and waving their hands a lot, that there's really nothing there. There's actually a tremendous amount of evidence that Russian separatists knocked down
this plane. Reggie, anything else?
Reggie. I'm glad that you were able to, that we were able to agree to disagree without being vitriolic, insulting, name-calling, yelling.
Well, we haven't got to that yet. We'll see. All right, Reggie. Thank you.
That's something that the right just can't seem to do.
Well, you know what? I would agree with you there. I do think that most of us on the left are kinder, except for a few people I have to beat the crap out of that are sending me nasty emails. Mark, make sure you have the whip handy so that our listeners know.
Oh, I've gotten them myself. I'm not worried.
Yeah, I know. No, Marky Mark Grimaldi, my executive producer, I rule with. Hey, look, you know, my mom's Sicilian. I'm a tough broad. You know, I have no choice. Mark, but my other half, my father, is Jewish. The wrong half for the Jews, obviously. Let's talk about the Middle East. And sure. Let's just lay it out there so people understand. You and I are both liberal, democratic, progressive individuals who agree with each other on most issues, politically,
right,
socially, even some personal issues. But when it comes to the Middle East, and we only have 3 minutes, you know, before the break at the top of the hour, before we let you go, this is an issue where I don't think you and I'm sure we don't disagree 100%, but I don't think you and I agree. And I think one of the reasons we don't agree is because of your Jewishness. and I say that with all the love in the world, being half Jewish, because I will not talk about the Middle East with the Jewish members of my family, nor will I talk about with the Muslim members of my husband's family, or people who are extremely conservative Christian, because I think that they're all indoctrinated in a sense by their religion and by their families as to what they should believe, and can't come to it with a complete open mind.
Leslie, I won't deny there's an emotional component. Of course there is. You know, when Americans are killed, we seem to notice more than when non-Americans are killed, because we're Americans. When gay issues are discussed, my ears perk up. I'm gay. I certainly have an emotional connection. But at the same time, I really try to argue, whether it's gay issues, American issues, or Jewish issues, or Israeli issues, I try to argue based on facts and logic and the stuff I talked about with Reggie, you know, clearly provable, objective facts.
Okay, so let's talk about some facts, because I think what happens, because this is such an emotionally charged issue, because we're short on time, sorry to keep interrupting you here.
No, go ahead.
But you know, there are people, I think, that clearly are taking sides, the Israeli side, the Palestinian side. I don't think there are really, other than other terrorists, people actually taking Hamas side, in this country, at least, from my experience. There's a lot of misinformation out there. You know that.
Yeah.
And today, something touched me. There was a woman and two children who said, "I am not a human shield. Please stop saying we're being used as human shields. How could I be a human shield when my children and I slept under our kitchen table, hoping and praying that we would make it till the morning?" And I, oh God, we have less than a minute. There's a lot of misinformation out there. I mean, Hamas, yeah, in the past has used human shields, but are those people sitting in hospitals, almost 600 people, a quarter of which were children, and so many elderly and handicapped, and people who are suffering already in that hospital, were they human shields or were they human targets?
I would argue they're targets of Hamas, and that Hamas uses them and wants them to be targets and actually wants them to
how
die,
could Hamas? How could Hamas control where the Israeli missiles were targeted when that hospital was shot, when those people were killed, almost 600 in that hospital, and those children playing soccer on a beach? 10 seconds. There's no time to answer.
I think those are different situations.
No. We didn't have enough time. We didn't have enough time. I wonder if I should bring Mark back.